If we've been your job search besties and helped you in some way, there's a cool way you can support the show. Shout us a virtual coffee.
As an independent podcast, we couldn't do what we do without your support. Head to buymeacoffee.com/interviewboss.
If you keep us caffeinated, we'll keep the content coming.
What if you struggle in the process because you didn't say anything and then didn't ask for any accommodations? And what if you disclose and then they use that against you? Or, you know, you can see that they're looking or thinking about you differently as a result.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to Interview Boss. My name is Emma. I'm a radio journalist who's teamed up with my sister to give you advice, inspiration, and support when you're looking for a new job. Sarah is a HR and recruitment professional, and together we're excited to give you all the tips, tricks, and behind the scenes knowledge to help you in your career.
Hey, Em, and welcome back, our amazing listeners. It's time for our favorite part of every single episode, the Shoot Your Shot shout out. And I know you guys look forward to this as well. This is where we celebrate you guys, our listeners from across the world. You listen to us, you've gone out there, you've shot your shot, and you've landed some wins, and you've come back to tell us about it. Em, this week, our shout out goes to Sonia. She was incredibly generous. She's supporting the show, helping us continue make episodes, and she bought us 10 coffees, virtual coffees.
Thank you, Sonia. I'll also give you a spoiler. Sonia is an Interview Academy alumna. Let's hear what she had to say. Sonia said, "Dear Emma and Sarah, I started listening to your podcast in October 2025 after accepting a junior level position because I felt it was the best I was going to get. Since 2023, I've been on a steady path of building skills and applying for roles, trying to reposition myself professionally. After running my own small business for 10 years and then pivoting to pursue an MPH, I truly believed I would be able to land a meaningful position. Instead, I repeatedly heard that other candidates were more suitable. I revised my resume countless times and decided I needed to strengthen my skill set. I took Spanish classes because being bilingual was listed as a qualification in many job postings. But when I noticed that project management skills were consistently required for the roles I wanted, I studied for over a year and earned my project management professional certification, something I wish I'd discovered 15 years earlier. I would have run my business a lot better. Then I began applying for junior level roles because I convinced myself I wasn't qualified for more. That mindset led me to accept the job that I mentioned earlier. Then I found your podcast. The most transformative shift came from the episode about interviews being a two-way process. I voraciously listened to as many episodes as I could while continuing to apply for jobs. Recently, I advanced to a panel with 6 executive leaders for a high-level role. I wasn't even sure I had a chance at it. That was when I enrolled in Interview Academy. I had 2 weeks to prepare. What I discovered was that I'd been approaching interviews in fragments, bits and pieces of preparation, but nothing cohesive. Interview Academy is structured, which helped me step back and see the full scope of my 28-year career. I'd spent so much time focusing on where I thought I should be that I minimized what I had actually accomplished. Through Interview Academy, I recognized the depth and breadth of my work, collaborating with local businesses, leading community outreach efforts, publishing a book, and launching an online industry magazine. I'd been embarrassed by some of these things because I didn't think they reflected current skills. Thanks to you, Sarah and Emma, I can clearly see the impact I've made on organizations, clients, and colleagues. Now, as I pursue a career in philanthropy, I feel confident in what I bring to the next nonprofit I serve, regardless if I get this position or not. My deepest gratitude and appreciation to you for creating something that helped me rediscover my professional worth. It was something I didn't even realize I was looking for, but truly needed. Keep doing the good work you do. Sonia from Arizona, USA."
Oh my God. What an incredible shout out, Sonia. What an incredible result.
So, so amazing.
What I love about this is hearing that it wasn't just that she prepared for the interview really well. It wasn't just you know, that there's some interview skills, because that's obviously what Interview Academy is there for. And that's, you know, a huge part of what the topics that we cover on this podcast. But to rediscover your professional worth, that's huge.
Game changer.
That's like a whole other thing that we didn't even set out to do necessarily. I think that is really, really cool. And also, I don't know how you publish a book, launch an online industry magazine and lead community outreach, and then also lose your professional worth. But hey, it just shows it can happen to anyone, right?
No one's immune from self-esteem issues in the job search. And I also love the way she went into detective mode and noticed that project management was consistently being sought after in these roles. So she went and upskilled. Amazing, amazing insight.
Yeah. And I think that's where training and a qualification and things can be really, really relevant when you're seeing it on the jobs that you want to apply for, that they're asking for certain things. I think it doesn't work as well when you think about it the other way. What would I like to do? And you look up courses, you don't necessarily know how that translates to more likely for you to get a job or not. Whereas when you see these qualifications or these certain things called out in this job requires that, that's a really good clue that it's going to help you directly. Not to say that study is never useful. I love education. But if we're doing it particularly for job search reasons, I think you need to be strategic and you need to do your research like Sonia.
If you want to prepare for your next interview in a cohesive way, instead of being all over the place, you're looking for structure, for baby steps, check out Interview Academy on our website. It's on-demand help right now. You get access to so many videos, interactive quizzes, a workbook that'll help you map out everything. It can be a game changer. Or Sarah also has one-on-one interview coaching sessions available if you have a really specific part of the prep that you're stuck on that you would like an hour of power to smash it out of the park. Check out all the options at interviewboss.com.au/coaching.
And as always, see, I'm stepping into Emma's bit now. If you liked one of our episodes, you used one of our tips, or you want to request an episode on a topic that you think could be helpful for you or for someone else, kindly follow us on Instagram and slide into our DMs, or you can jump on our website, email us, send us a message however you like, and maybe you will inspire our next episode. We love listener requests. And that is exactly where this episode has come from. And I tell you what, it's been a long time coming. Our listeners have basically been banging down our door about this topic over a period of time.
Yes. Neurodivergence in the job search. We've taken some time to formulate exactly how we want to tackle this episode, but I'll start with reading out a couple of messages that we've got just in the last few weeks. But honestly, this is up there with the most requested episode. We have had dozens of requests for this since we started, so it was time to tackle it. But let's throw to what you guys asked us. Laura said, "Hi guys, I hope you're well. I've had 3 interviews in a month and I found your podcast when I was trying to prepare. It's been so helpful. I love you guys. Best Bits mindset has been so helpful. Unfortunately, all 3 of my interviews ended up with me not getting a job. I'm always really hard on myself about interviews and it feels like a rejection, but your podcast has been helpful to try and combat that by understanding more about how decisions are made on the other side. So thank you. What I felt was missing and where most of my difficulties come from is the fact that I have ADHD and possibly dyspraxia. I've been told I have processing difficulties by educational psychologists, and I know a lot of neurodivergent people struggle with the same. My suggestion to you, I struggled to find a lot of specific advice for this online, is to do an episode about reasonable adjustments at interviews for disabilities and specifically neurodivergent people. Love you guys from Scotland." Then we had Ari chime in and say, "Hello, ladies. I have been listening to your podcast for a while and trying to work out my challenges with landing a new job. Recently, I've been diagnosed with autism, and that has made me rethink all over again about my struggles as an employee and as an individual. Since it's hard to tell from the outside about my condition, things can get a lot more challenging. This realization is truly a game changer and makes one contemplate about himself in the grand scheme of things. I was wondering what your take is on this. Are are employees obligated to accommodate autistic people? Should candidates tell an interviewer that they're autistic? What is the taboo regarding autistic employees? What's the awareness among co-workers? Perhaps you might consider talking about this in a future show. Thank you.
Yeah, we have been asked a couple of times for this topic, and they're detailed requests when they come through. These are things that people have lots of thoughts on, and that they go, this is the one episode they're going, this is going to add on to everything else, because they have specific concerns that are maybe not addressed in other topics. I thought a good place for us to start is acknowledging that there's so many things that the hiring process is testing that don't necessarily translate to whether or not you can do the job. Like, you need to be able to kind of read between the lines of a job ad, understand what jobs are going to potentially suit you or what work environments might be like by kind of understanding what they're not saying in the job ad. You need to be able to understand and respond to a detailed question verbally without visual prompts or notes, and often without being able to see those questions written. Your working memory, remembering the best bits that you've covered, where are you up to in the story, numbers off the top of your head to insert into questions that you might get asked, not losing track of yourself as you're kind of speaking, eye contact, sitting still, general kind of body language, social skills, small talk, coming across as friendly or enthusiastic, performing well in an interview when you're in a brand new environment. You may be in an office or a different location that you've never been to, finding that location, being able to get there, turn up on time. Like, there's lots of parts of the process, and that's honestly just getting started. They don't necessarily translate to how you're going to do in that job. They might, if the job is, you know, social skills and small talk, sure. But a lot of the time, social skills and small talk aren't important to the doing of the job, but they're disproportionately involved in getting the job.
Yeah, hearing you read all of those out like that is a good reminder of the hurdles that people face in interviewing that isn't just, you know, sitting down to answer questions about yourself. That's like the tip of the iceberg. There's so much more that goes into it that if you're predisposed to struggle with these things, what an exhausting mountain it feels like to climb to do an interview.
Yeah, totally. And they're parts of the process that other people might not even give a second thought to. So I can see how a lot of the tips that we talk about would still be really helpful when it comes to how to put together a best bit. But there's all these other areas where, hey, we're not talking about all of that because some people might find that not even a big deal. And that's before we even touch on the fact that you might have the ability to be even better at the actual job if there were a couple of changes made to how things are done. But that then brings up a minefield of questions, similar to the ones that our wonderful listeners wrote in asking, should you disclose, hey, I have this diagnosis, hey, I have this challenge with processing. If you do choose to, when do you do it? Do you talk about that in the interview process? Do you talk about that in your application? What do you actually say? Like, do you name it? Do you refer to particular details? How much detail do you go into? What if it's taken badly? What if you struggle in the process because you didn't say anything and then didn't ask for any accommodations? And what if you disclose and then they use that against you, or, you know, you can see that they're looking or thinking about you differently as a result? Like, there's so many questions that it kind of throws up.
Yeah. What if they discriminate against you? Or what if you disclose after you feel like you did poorly because you didn't ask for accommodations, but then you have this weird guilt where it looks like you're blaming it on that, and you only brought it up because you seemingly did bad? Like, it's confusing.
Using it as an excuse type thing. Like, yeah, would it be seen as that? So I wanted to share a little bit about my personal experience. Now, I do have some lived experience. I was actually diagnosed with ADHD at 30, a couple of years ago. And so I do understand the struggles of having a different brain. Like, I do get that fundamentally. But because that happened later in life for me, I don't have a lot of experience when it comes to disclosing. And having worked in recruitment and HR, I haven't needed or would have really benefited from accommodations when it comes to the job getting process. So I can relate.
You had the inside scoop.
Yeah, that's right. But I also can't in some areas. So that's part of the reason why when we first got you know, a request to kind of talk about this, I thought, okay, well, I do have some thoughts and some experience, but I really don't feel like I even understand what people would want to hear. So that's part of the reason why we have broken this topic into parts. Now, this episode that you're listening to right now is part one. And I thought a wonderful place for us to start is something that I think is really deeply practical when it comes to being neurodivergent and thinking about getting a job, thinking about your career in general. And that is self-reflection. It's advice that we talk about a bit for everyone in general, really, because I think self-reflection is so important when it comes to your career as a whole.
We have an episode called The Art of Knowing Thyself or something along those lines. And it's all about how if you're someone who just never reflects, you leave a job, you hated it, you don't really know why, it was just everything about it, you might find yourself in another job exactly the same because you didn't know yourself enough to know, hey, these are the components of that work that I don't enjoy. I hate working alone. I really need a supportive manager. And you can find yourself being a person who's perpetually unhappy in roles, but it may have been preventable because in the job ad, in the interview process, there were clues, but you weren't in tune enough with yourself to know that doesn't suit me
or what you were looking for. And often it can be stuff that sounds good. If you've reflected, you're like, that doesn't suit me. Even though it sounds like that would be a good thing, you have to know how you respond to that particular thing. So I think this is great advice for everyone. Hey, Interview Boss listeners, if the podcast just isn't doing it for you and you need way more help to prep for your next interview, we have the perfect thing for you. Interview Academy. Em, tell us all about it.
This is huge. This is the love child of Sarah after doing hundreds of one-on-one coaching sessions, finding out what people struggle with the most, common mistakes. Sarah has created the ultimate course that you can do in your own time, self-paced, heaps of modules, videos, interactive quizzes, a workbook that will become your Bible by the end that you can take with you into your interview. Because if you're a long-time listener, you know that we endorse taking notes into your interview. It's a game changer.
Check out more about it at interviewboss.com.au/interview academy. But particularly when you have different challenges than what other people might. So I think it's really helpful to start with thinking about how your symptoms or your preferences or your struggles tend to show up. This is going to be different between people, even with the same diagnosis or the same kind of outward label, are going to have different parts of the process or parts of a job or bits that they struggle the most with.
Totally. This is so hyper individual, which makes it really hard to give blanket advice here. You have to do some thinking. So for you, Sarah, you're a self-aware queen. Tell me, what do you know about yourself? Symptoms, preferences, struggles, what are the sore points for you?
I struggle with my memory, my working memory. It's freaking terrible. And it's something that I had like kind of worked out prior to being diagnosed and was actively working around. Like I knew that if I don't take notes in a meeting or if I, like someone's trying to talk to me, they've just like caught me for a casual chat, but they're saying things that I need to remember, I'll like pull out my phone. Like I'm aware of the fact that I have to make notes because I will not remember having to-do lists, all that kind of stuff to make sure that I don't forget about a task. So I was kind of working around that. But the more that I've noticed and reflected, it just reinforces to me that next time I can't just assume, oh, well, I'll remember this time. It's so easy to fall into the trap of thinking that something is just a sometimes thing. Whereas when you get really honest with yourself and you go, yeah, well, this always happens. Like I need to stop expecting something different to happen next time and just act accordingly, like act as if I am going to forget.
Historically, I've never remembered.
Yes. So why do I think that tomorrow is going to be any different? Why do I think that this bit of information is going to be any different? Like that's been a real kind of game changer of the way that I think about things. Being places early in the morning, not great for me. I am absolutely able to get wherever I need to be super early in the morning as a once off, not a problem. Every day, I can't do it. I'm not a morning person. And so if there was a job that required like a long commute and an early start, that would just be awful. I would not be my best. I would maybe be able to drag myself to do it for a period of time out of obligation and fear of consequences, but it would completely burn me out. So that's just a couple of things. I could go on for ages because there's so many things.
What if you were me and you started at 4:45 in the morning and you had been doing it for 3 years? Would you be standing still or?
Quite simply put, I would never be you and do that.
Just to go on the record, I am a night owl, so like I need welfare checks as well.
Yeah, I would not do that. I know that I would not be able to cope. So all props to you of being able to get up and act against your genetic predisposition to being a night owl.
Yes. So if those things that you just described, working memory, how does that specifically impact you when it comes to applying for jobs? And I want everyone who's listening to this at home and thinking of their struggle, think, how does that relate to the job search for you?
Yeah. And for me, that is definitely best bits, like telling those stories. I can remember the story because I remember the general details quite well. It's the specifics, the name of that platform, how many employees there were, like anything that has to do with a number or a specific detail will just disappear out of my brain like a sieve. I can help that by bringing notes with me. That makes me feel a lot more confident. I think sometimes when I panic, the information is right there, but it's like I can't access it if I'm panicking. So knowing that it's in front of me or I've got certain details written down is really helpful. And then practicing them like in the days before is really helpful as well. I also have to really think about like putting together a plan of how I'm going to get to an interview on time, because my planning when it comes to time is not great. If somewhere takes 20 minutes to drive to, I just kind of assume that, okay, well, I'll add 10 minutes to get there early and, 3 minutes to find a park or something. But I always manage to forget, oh, well, what about like now? And I'm like, oh yeah, I should leave. Well, really, I should be in the car driving out of my house right now. Not I should leave. Oh, I just need to put my stuff in my bag and put my shoes on. Because like I just think of that time as like it takes 0 minutes to do those things. So I just always manage to end up behind. So
you're better than me. I've never accounted for parking, finding a park, walking the 500 meters, going up the L. I do not account for that. I'm like, oh, it's 20 minutes away. I'll allow 20 minutes. And then I'm within the vicinity at the time I'm meant to be there, but I'm 10 minutes late because it took however long to get the hell inside.
Yeah. And so part of that is self-awareness, right? Of being like, well, this happens every time. I can't keep doing that and expecting different results. It's just that it doesn't make it not hard. That still doesn't come naturally to me. So even when I actually do think about parking time or all those extra bits, it is still a challenge. It does still require extra effort and energy. I would say also in terms of applying for jobs, I find it very hard to negotiate for myself as well. I find just that level of awkwardness almost like really, really difficult. So that's super hard. Do what I say, not as I do, right? I'm sure I've missed out on different things because I backed down from a conversation or went in a bit less than what I should have or something like that. It's a skill that you can kind of work on and flex, but yeah.
So I want everyone to be thinking about what parts of the interview are the hardest. Don't just say, well, the whole thing from start to finish. Really think about it. What's the worst part that just, if that part could go away, it would still be unpleasant, but the rest would be survivable. You could tread water and do it. And really break it down here. Instead of just thinking, well, answering the questions, that's too generic. Go deeper. So is it remembering the best bits that you had prepared? Or is it understanding the question when it's delivered verbally and you think, oh my God, that just went in one ear and out the other? What did they even say? Then you get flustered. Is it getting lost mid-answer even though you practiced and then not knowing how to wrap it up and things getting convoluted? And these are all the same things you can ask yourself when it comes to your work. So not just the interview process. So what are the things that you've noticed in the past have caused you issues or stress or the parts of your work that you found the most challenging? Because there will be links between the stuff you find challenging at work and the parts of the interview process that are hard.
And we want to go broader than just interviews. I think they're the easiest part for us to kind of think about and conceptualize, but I'm sure there are other parts of the job search process in general that you find difficult that aren't related to interviews. Maybe it is about finding the right role to apply for, knowing what kind of job you are going to be good at, or understanding your skills a little bit better, like breaking down, here's what I have done. What does that mean that I'm good at? Like maybe that's a really tough part for you. Maybe it's trying to find the right environment that has a manager and a team that's kind of the right fit. But I want you to unpack that. What does that actually mean? What does that look like? What does a team that works well for you mean? And don't just say supportive. Like, what do you actually mean by that? You have to get really, really curious and kind of stack whys on top of each other. Why? What do you mean by that? Get more specific.
Yeah. And I think there's maybe an idea or a misconception that you may be able to just ask for accommodations in general, and then they might send you a list or a menu of like, okay, here's what your options are. And then you get to browse and go, oh, yeah, that sounds good. Yeah, that's not really how this works. You need to have a think and then propose an accommodation and ask for that. That's how that works.
Yeah. And look, if there are environments where they do give you a list of accommodations that are available, then that's amazing. But you still need to have an idea of, would that be helpful? Would it not? Like, we talk a lot about the fact that we don't want to spend a whole lot of time here talking about how things should be, because I think that's a whole different topic entirely. We are deeply practical. And so we're talking about how things are. There are a whole range of different companies, and there are a whole range of different types of ways you're going to encounter people responding to accommodations or neurodivergence in general, from the very, very inclusive and really proactive about asking you through to like massive stigmas that still exist. So I think the best starting point that I can give you as a whole is really doing this self-reflecting and therefore starting to think about what would actually make those things easier, either in the job or in the interview process, or even just understanding what things you could do to make those things easier. They don't necessarily have to come from the employer if that's not what you want to do. Even if you have no intention of ever bringing up your diagnosis in a hiring process, you kind of need to understand what parts are getting in the way so that we can then identify, okay, what are we going to do about it? How are we going to work on that? How are we going to make things a little bit easier for you or really achievable for you?
Yeah. So in order to get practical and give you the help that you are, you know, desperately hoping to get from us, we need your help. So we want to hear from you if you have lived experience with neurodivergence or some kind of condition. Here's some questions we have for you, and we want you to comment below on Spotify, fill in the contact form on our website, send us an email, carrier pigeon, DM. We'll compile all of them to get a feel of what you're after. But tell us what part of the hiring process you struggle with the most, and be specific, no vague sweeping statements. What is a change to the hiring process that would genuinely make it easier for you? What are the most accessible processes you've been a part of? Have you experienced something that was just amazing where they did kind of offer up stuff, or there was a box you could tick on the online application that streamlined it, and just things that you've really appreciated that felt amazing?
Also, have you tried asking for an accommodation? Did you disclose, hey, I've been diagnosed autistic, I have ADHD, I have a processing challenge, I am dyslexic? How did it work? What did you do? How did you go about sharing it? Do you think it worked against you? Do you think they handled it well and accepted it well? Was it awkward? Have you used a particular strategy or piece of advice that was really useful? We just want to hear from you guys, our listeners, of your lived experience. Even if you don't need this advice, pay it forward, send it in and help someone else. Now, I know if you're listening to this, you probably have something to ask or something to share. I don't want you to overthink it. Use all those methods that Emma mentioned. Go on the contact form on our website. Send us an email. We'll put it in the show notes. Send us a message on any of the platforms that we are on. It is okay if it's a half-formed thought, if it's a voice note. You don't have to do the whole thank you, you're amazing bit at the beginning. If you don't want to or if you don't have time, just send us a couple of bullet points on this topic. Put the word neurodivergent somewhere in the message would be helpful so that we can know what it's in regards to in general. We always change names unless we've specifically asked the person or they've posted the question or information like on a public platform. So we don't use your identifying information on the podcast, but we will use your suggestions, questions, stories to put together our next episode on this topic. And we will go through what are the questions, what are the things that people struggle with, what are the things that we should source some advice on and come up with some really practical tips on, and what are the things that our community recommend and that they've shared about.
Yes, you can quite literally just comment on this episode and say, remembering stuff. Don't overthink it. Doesn't need to be a paragraph, but if you do have a paragraph full of thoughts, send it our way. We would love to know. And then we will create part two to this little mini series with the real practical tips.
I didn't want to create this topic and just end up sharing pretty generic advice, because as much as I can talk about the things that I think would be really practical and helpful, I want to make it more tailored than that. I want to get more specific. This is a really large topic. There are so many parts that we could dive into. So let us know. You are creating this episode with us. Can't wait to read your messages. Thanks so much for listening to Interview Boss. If you like hearing the sound of our voices, hit that follow button on Apple or Spotify or wherever you're listening, or better yet, tell someone else about the show. That's how we can hit the charts and help even more people. For more advice, inspiration, and savable content, check us out on Instagram at Interview Boss, or go and find me over on LinkedIn and chuck me a follow. Can you believe we started Interview Boss in 2021?
Not really. It's insane. That's a lot of episodes and a lot of hours of talking.
Oh my gosh, it is. And if you're scrolling through all of our episodes, you might scroll straight past something that you really, really needed.
Yes, we're always getting messages from people asking us to do an episode on something. And I'm like, we already have.
So we've put together playlists to help you find the episodes that are exactly what you need, suited to your situation.
They're all categorized. If you're applying for jobs, we have episodes about resumes, cover letters, job ads. If you've been offered your dream job, we have episodes on resigning, exit interviews, and how to impress at your new company.
And we even have a very special playlist that's very popular for if you have an interview coming up immediately and you need just our most recommended hard-hitting episodes between now and then.
For all our last-minute listeners. It's all there for you. You can browse by category and check out all the playlists at interviewboss.com.au/podcast.